Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vazquez. With these podcasts, Father Vazquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week, free of charge, either as a podcast on Apple iTunes or on the internet at epostle.net. Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World. Whether you're listening on CD, over the internet, or on your MP3 player, we invite you to sit back, turn up the volume, and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vazquez, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast that looks at life through the lens of Armadoxy. That's Armenian Orthodoxy with an edge, you know? Like the edge that the apostles had. How's that? This podcast is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission and brought to you by the good folks at epostle.net. Apostolic evangelism for an expanding and electronic universe. So if you're ready, let's take the next step. I am so glad you are joining us. Yes, yes. Walk, run, whatever it takes. I am so glad that you are with us. And want to welcome all the new listeners. We've got quite a bit today, I think. Well, at least I've been told from the downloads of last week. It looks like we've got quite a new group of people. So I want to welcome you aboard. If this is your first time, if you've been crawling with us lately, if you've been walking with us, if you've been taking some giant steps, giant leaps, and even running, jogging with us, welcome back. We have a great show for you today, and I want to kick it off with, well, something that kicked off my morning this morning. It's a quote by Mother Teresa. I want to read it and ask you a question. Do you believe it? Do you believe this quote or not? Mother Teresa says, "I know God will not give me anything I cannot handle. I just wish he didn't trust me this much." Yeah, there's a little twist to it, huh? Mother Teresa, "I know God will not give me anything I cannot handle. I just wish he didn't trust me this much." I love it. I love it. It's very nice. Kicked off my morning today, and I want to kick off the show with you with this saying. Think about it for a moment. What does that mean? Do you believe it? Is it something that fits in to the way you understand your life, your relationship with God? What does this mean to you? Well, we're going to be talking about that in a few minutes as we look at a Bible passage, actually a Bible passage that comes to us from the Gospel of Mark. It happens to be the passage that is used during the healing service in the Armenian Church. And I want to share some ideas. I had an occasion to read it this week, and I wanted to share some ideas with you because, well, it fits in right with this passage. Does God give you stuff that you cannot handle? Does he give you only what you can handle? And if he does, why is he trusting you too much? Think about that for a moment. We've got a show for you that's going to explore that. It's going to explore the Bible passage as well. We've got a great letter to share with you as well, telling you about like what's going on the rest of the world. And I'll read that right now. This is a reader that comes in from Washington, D.C. In fact, it came in, and I just have to share it with you because I was so impressed. It came in a big envelope. And anytime anything comes to the big epostle.net studios in a giant big envelope, you know we are very suspicious of it because most of our people, no, I'm not suspicious for those reasons. Because most of our people are email people. Most of our people deal, I mean, we are basically electronic. We are on the web. We are, Yes, that's the only reason I said that. That's why we're suspicious. So when something big comes like that, you're suspicious. So anyway, I carefully opened the envelope, and inside was this really, really cool black t-shirt, white writing on it, an Armenian Orthodox cross on the front of it, and it said witness. And on the back is the letter A, which is the name of God, I am. Very, very cool t-shirt. I liked it. And it is a note from a gentleman named Daron Bolat. I hope I pronounced that last name properly, and if I didn't, I'm sorry about that. But the content of the letter is very, very exciting, and I want to share it with you. It comes to us. It begins, Christos Hariavi Merelots, the greeting of the Easter season. Christ is risen from the dead. It says, I'm sure you don't remember me, but we met in 2004 at an ACYOA sports weekend in Dallas, Texas. Now, ACYOA is the Armenian Church Youth Organization of America. Nice acronym. Established many, many years ago. Anyway, he says, at that time I was serving on the ACYOA Central Council and a student at St. Nersis Seminary focusing on youth ministry. After graduating from St. Nersis, I returned home to Washington, D.C. to serve as the youth director at St. Mary Armenian Church. I also serve on the Human Rights Commission for the city of Rockville, Maryland, where I'm currently working to get the city to divest from Sudan because of the genocide in Darfur. Bravo. I think you are doing amazing work and listen to your podcast whenever I can. Well, thank you very much. That is very sweet of you to say that. But you should listen to it a little bit more, right? I wanted to hear, well, I'm reading this for a reason, right? I wanted to share with you a project that I have begun. It is called Ehware. And remember, the letter E is the seventh letter of the alphabet. As I said, it means I am the name of God, okay? So it is called Ehware. And we will be making t-shirts with Armenian Christian themes, with all of the proceeds going to help needy children. My vision is to have people be able to choose a shirt and then choose which organization the proceeds go to. I have a website, eware.org, which is still a work in progress. Please accept this shirt as a gift. I was inspired by a shirt that Nike had as part of an ad campaign with LeBron James. Oh, did you see LeBron last night? Did you see him score those last 10 points? Incredible, huh? Okay, sorry, I digress. The ad campaign included billboards with pictures of him saying, "We are all witnesses," and t-shirts which had witness written on them with a swoosh underneath. I thought, if we are going to witness for something, why not witness for our faith rather than a shoe company? I have some other designs as well. I would love any thoughts or support you might have, and feel free to contact me, Sirov Daron Bolat. Thank you, Daron. That is, I appreciate the t-shirt. Second of all, we will put a link on our show notes today so others can find you easily. And third, definitely I'd love to get in touch with you, and I will contact you in the next couple days. Love to see if we can do a joint venture, maybe use some of these t-shirts for promo ideas that we have for In His Shoes Ministries, as well as for our work that we do out in Darfur. So thank you very much. And I just had to share that with you because it is just beautiful to see that others are reacting, are reaching out, taking the Armenian Church message outside of their spheres, and this is such a beautiful way. You know, I've shared this with you in the past, and definitely do check it out in previous podcasts. In fact, I've written quite extensively about this, about the symbol E. That is a magical symbol that comes to us. It is part of the 6x6 matrix of the original Armenian alphabet, and it is the seventh letter, the seven, of course, being very spiritually awake letter. Not only is it the perfect letter, perfect number, excuse me, because it is one off then six. It is also a combination of three and four, the three sides of heaven and the four sides of earth, basically the completeness and the fullness of the universe. And so seventh letter in the Armenian alphabet happens to be the letter E, the name of God. And what better name is there than perfection, right? On E, he is. I could go on forever with this topic, but I've done it in the past, and I will share some more with you. Actually, I'm going to have some chance to dig up some of the old files, and hopefully we'll be able to post them soon on our website. We've got all kinds of stuff going. But that was a way to kick off today's show. We're going to come back after the song of the day to share with you the message of the day, which is going to be about... well, about healing and about looking at these passages, just as I said a few minutes ago with the Mother Teresa passage, in a very unique light. We have Ani with her bubbles coming up in a few minutes, but as we do every week, we kick it off with a song of the day. Here's today's. Enjoy! Medax Tashkinag. Something a little bit different. It means the silk handkerchief, and it is the unmistakable sound, the unparalleled sound, I should say, the wood artistry of John Belizikchan. And you could check him out. That is off of his Music from the Armenian Diaspora album, and we will definitely have a link on our show notes so you could check him out, check out all of his music. We've shared his musical talents with you many times on this podcast, and just, I enjoy it so much. You know, when you listen to someone like that and you just think about just the techniques, I mean, how is it possible? You know, the Armenian oud, just... tiny little instrument, tiny little keyboard, and then to be able to create so much music and diversity. It's really, to me, it's just miraculous in many sense. And I wanted to share that with you today. Medax Tashkinag always reminds me, that silk handkerchief kind of reminds me of my grandmother's time. It was one of those dainty things that she'd always talk about when she was a child. You know, the silk handkerchief that she'd have and she'd carry with her. Kind of like a symbol of Armenian youth, Armenian girl youth, let's say. And, my grandma, you know, if she was around, she'd be 111 this week. So there you go. A small little Medox Tushkinug for Grandma over there. Hope you enjoyed it. Today we're going to be looking at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, specifically. There is a passage that is read during the service of healing. In the Armenian church, there is a rite, there is a tradition of laying on hands to heal the individual. And it is offered in the book of Mashtots. Now, Mashtots is the prayer book that is used by the priest. It includes some of the sacraments that are, of course, in the rites of the priest. For instance, baptism, confirmation, holy communion, holy matrimony. But it does not include all seven sacraments because, of course, holy orders is reserved for the bishop. So this wouldn't be in the regular Mashtots that is used by the priest. But there is another Mashtots, another book of rites that is used by the bishop called the Ma'ir Mashtots, the Mother Mashtots, the Mother Book of Rites. And in there would be, of course, holy orders, the passing along of all the orders not only the three main orders of deacon, priest, and, well, actually, the bishop is not included in that. That is found in the Ha'ir Mashtots, which is used by the Catholicos to officiate and pass along the rite of being a bishop, consecration of a bishop. Let's see, what else would be in the Catholicos' rites? It would be to consecrate or to bless Holy Muron, the chrism of the church. But in the Mashtots, there are certain prayer services, including exorcism, including the first time a child is brought to the church to have his hair cut, or different rites, including the right to bless the water well. Of course, that's an important part of the family life in ancient times, and of course, it's included in the Mashtots. The priest would come and bless the water well. There's blessings of vestments and so on. Anyway, there is a blessing service, the healing of the sick. And in this service, there is, like all the services, there is a prayer, there is a hymn, but there also is a gospel passage. And we're going to be looking at that gospel passage, which comes to us from the book of Mark, chapter 11, verses 22 and following. And in here, Jesus says, "Have faith in God. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." I read this the other day, and I took an opportunity to read the entire chapter of St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, and something reached out at me. First of all, think of this, that somebody who is suffering, struggling, is ill, and going through some difficulties physically, and now the priest comes to him or her and offers this passage. "Truly I say to you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself in the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen to them, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." I mean, what power there is in that? What power is given to the individual, and what power is there in healing? And interestingly enough, it follows up with a requirement. It says, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Now, think about that for a moment. We're telling the individual that you have the power to be healed, but before anything and foremost, you need to be able to forgive. So there's a condition on there. How great that forgiveness is in the eyes of God. How great is that ultimate reconciliation with one another before we can be complete. And so God pushes us to be complete, to be healed. But how? By first of all, us taking a responsibility for our lives, taking the responsibility to be in union with one another, to be reconciled with one another. Now, I did share with you earlier a passage that, well, a quote that comes to us from Mother Teresa. And in that quote, if you remember, there was two parts to it. It said, I know God will not give me anything I cannot handle. It almost made us believe that, okay, God is giving us these things, right, for us to handle. And I asked you, do you believe that? Do you believe God looks at you and says, hey, let me give this guy something. Let's see if he could handle it. Well, not let's see, because I know what he could handle, but only give as much as he can handle. But the other part of the quote that Mother Teresa said, and I intentionally read both sentences every time I read it, was to really ask you, do you believe it? And think about it for a moment. I just wish he didn't trust me this much. Mother Teresa in this statement really kind of relieves the burden of God and really puts it on us, doesn't she? Says that God is really trusting us in a sense. And she's playing with that idea. And I think the same thing comes through in this gospel message today. That you really, if you want to remove those mountains, are you willing to play? Are you willing to really take it to the next limit? And as I said, when I read this passage the other day, I actually had a chance to read the entire chapter 11. Please do that. Look at the entire chapter, and something hits you right away. That this passage is in the content of a greater story. It actually takes place as the Passover is beginning, during the beginning of Holy Week. And it says, the next day, this is from verse 12 of that same chapter. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard him say this. Now Jesus is cursing the fig tree. And obviously it's not the fig tree's fault, right? What does it say? It says he found only leaves because it was not the season for figs. It's not even the season. So why is Jesus cursing this tree? I mean, what sin did this tree have? What was the problem with this tree? Well, as we go on, we see again. It's that the ability to engage us in the Christ conversation. As we continue to read that same thing, Jesus goes on in the very familiar scene of cleansing the temple, and then it goes back to the fig tree. And when evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. To which Jesus responds, have faith in God. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Does that change it a little bit? Does that change it a little bit for you to hear it in context? It does for me. Because Jesus isn't talking about moving mountains. He's talking about our ability to rise to the occasion, above nature, in fact, right? Because he's showing the example of the fig tree. He's cursed the fig tree, it's withered, and now what he says about having faith is really a direct answer to what Peter asks. Hey, look, the fig tree is withered. And Jesus said, well, you could do the same. You have control over nature. You have control over all of the physical through your mind, through your prayer, through your ability to be godlike. And that is a powerful shift. It's very, very powerful. Because it's not just a statement Jesus throws out there that, hey, you know, if you have faith, you can move the mountain. But it's in reference to what they experienced with the fig tree. And in reference to that, it's now the ability that you have over the physical dimension of life. And when we talk about healing, isn't that what it's about? Because healing is about the physical body, which has become corrupted. It's become corrupted by, well, the filth, the disease, the illness, the contamination that is all around us. And who has control over that? Who has control over that? So God, again, is turning that back up over to us, saying, okay, there is healing, but get with the program. It's a bigger thing than just walking. It's the ability for you to take control over the physical. And when we think about what we do to our planet, what we do to our environment, how we pollute it, how these carcinogens are all around us, and how we've mutated even those things that are good. I mean, did you see that? What was it, a couple days ago, they showed these exploding watermelons in China? Well, you've basically destroyed the watermelons. And of course they're going to explode. If you haven't seen it, do check it out. Let's see if Susie can. She'll dig it up and we'll put it on our show notes today. It's remarkable. I mean, I remember this was about 30 years ago. There was a sweet little lady. That's about 25 years ago. In my parish in San Jose, she was from Iran, and she was suffering from some kind of stomach cancer. And I had gone and visited her, and her son was an engineer working in Silicon Valley at that time. And he was, of course, right at the top of the engineers. He was a very brilliant man, and he was working on the new computers. Basically, this is Silicon Valley in its early stages. And he looked and he says, you know, she's suffering from this disease. You know, we didn't have this kind of disease back in Iran. We didn't feel it back in the old country. He says, but over here, everything has been changed. And he shared with me this idea that look at even the watermelons. He says, we've got watermelons that don't have seeds. He says, why? What is that all about? Why do you need a watermelon that doesn't have seeds? Well, think about it. Why do you need it? Because the watermelon without seeds will sell more, or you can get more for the watermelon without seeds than the one with seeds. Okay, so again, capitalism is driving basically health issues, right? I mean, we've mutated it. I know it's not this major mutation. It just cross-pollination and stuff. But still, it's doing something that nature didn't have in the beginning, right? And we want this watermelon without seeds. And he continued to tell me, and he says, him as an engineer was telling me this, he says, what is it that we are doing with computers that you can't do with a pen and paper? Oh, do I think of that statement a million times a day? Every time something goes wrong on a computer, I'm going, you know, next time I'm just going to get a pad of paper and a pen. I mean, at least when that pen dries up, you just toss it and you don't feel bad that you're still making payments on your credit card, you know? But what he says is so true. That we've really created an environment that has these mutations of even nature, and now we have to suffer the consequences. And what Jesus says in this passage is really the key to the whole thing, is that you have that power. You have that power even over nature. It's just the same as the Mother Teresa statement, right? It's not a question of God just burdening you with difficulties. But why does he trust you so much? Change the emphasis. Take a look at it from that respect. I mean, this comes to me at a time in my life when I'm looking at the power of the mind over the body, over the physical. When I'm looking at what does it mean when Jesus is talking about healing. I mean, I've struggled with this for many years, as a young priest, in fact, going to people and praying and knowing very well that the expectation is that I have a sickness, I have an illness, and now with your prayer, I should be able to rise and walk. And the struggle that I have when I know that at certain points these will not happen is that the doubt in my mind, am I working counter to what I am there for? No, I don't think so. I struggled with that many times, but it's not about that. It's a question of getting the message to the people. And the message is a simple one, that Christ says that you have the power over the physical. You have the power over your environment. You have the power over life. Once you tune in and you understand what he's saying here, which is basically have faith in God. So you have faith in God, the rest follows. You have that ability to control your environment. You have that ability to rise above the physical. And the key to it is, well, what he says there. As you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. It begins with you making an action, taking an action. So the healing begins with you responding to this message of love. Now, I know it sounds like it's a very esoteric concept, but it's a very clear one of mind over matter. And you do have that ability. You have that very sacred ability that God trusts you with. But it begins by the simple acknowledgement of having faith in love. Having faith in that love to the extent that you are able to forgive others, that you are able to be in harmony with the nature around you. And once you are in harmony, then of course everything reaches its equilibrium. And when everything reaches its equilibrium, what happens then? Then everything is harmonious and everything works together. And so you have conquered that physical. And as you can imagine, healing is only the beginning. Ani's here with today's bubbles. I'm glad, just in time. Here's Ani with today's spiritual bubbles. We'll be back in a couple minutes to share with you some more thoughts on the next step.
Today's spiritual bubble. He was a unique manager because he had several waiters who followed him around from restaurant to restaurant. The reason the waiters followed Jerry was because of his attitude. He was a natural motivator. If an employee was having a bad day, Jerry was there telling the employee how to look on the positive side of the situation. When someone would ask him how he was doing, he would reply, "If I were any better, I'd be twins." Seeing this style really made me curious. So one day I went up to Jerry and I asked him, "I don't get it. You can't be positive all of the time. How do you do it?" Jerry replied, "Each morning, I wake up and say to myself, Jerry, you have two choices today. You can choose to be in a good mood, or you can choose to be in a bad mood. I choose to be in a good mood. Each time something bad happens, I can choose to be a victim, or I can choose to learn from it. I choose to learn from it. Every time someone comes to me complaining, I can choose to accept their complaining, or I can point out the positive side of life, and I choose the positive side of life. Yeah, right. But it's not that easy, I protested. Yes, it is, Jerry said. Life is all about choices. When you cut away all the junk, every situation is a choice. You choose how you react to situations. You choose how people will affect your mood. You choose to be in a good mood or a bad mood. The bottom line is, it's your choice how you live your life. I reflected on what Jerry said. Soon thereafter, I left the restaurant industry to start my own business. We lost touch, but I often thought about him when I made a choice about life instead of reacting to it. Several years later, I heard that Jerry did something you're never supposed to do in a restaurant business. He left the back door open and was held up at gunpoint by three armed robbers. While trying to open the safe, his hand, shaking from nervousness, slipped off the combination. The robbers panicked and shot him. Luckily, Jerry was retrieved quickly and rushed to the local trauma center. After 18 hours of surgery and weeks of intensive care, Jerry was released from the hospital with fragments of bullets left in his body. I saw Jerry about 6 months after the accident. When I asked him how he was, he replied, "If I were any better, I'd be twins. Want to see my scars?" I declined to see his wounds, but did ask him what he'd gone through, what had gone through his mind when the robbery took place. "The first thing that went through my mind was that I should have locked the back door," Jerry replied. "Then, as I lay on the floor, I remembered that I had two choices. I could choose to live, or I could choose to die. And I chose to live." "Weren't you scared? Didn't you lose consciousness?" I asked. Jerry continued, "The paramedics were great. They kept telling me I was going to be fine. But when they wheeled me into the ER and I saw the expressions on the faces of the doctors and nurses, I got really scared. In their eyes, I read, 'He's a dead man.' I knew I needed to take action." "So what did you do?" I asked. "Well," Jerry said, "there was a big burly nurse shouting questions at me. She asked if I was allergic to anything." "Yes," I replied. The doctors and nurses stopped working as they waited for me to apply. I took a deep breath and yelled, "Bullets." Over their laughter, I told them, "I'm choosing to live. Operate on me as if I'm alive and not dead." Jerry lived thanks to the skill of the doctors, but also because of his amazing attitude. I learned from him that every day we have the choice to live fully. After all, only 10% about life is what happens to us, and 90% is about our attitude toward it. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the winds to heaven.
Thank you, Ani. Beautiful story. I think we've heard that many times about the 90-10 split, about how important attitude is in life, but it's always very special when Ani tells us with her stories and the beautiful manner she tells these stories. And thank you, Ani. It just hit the spot exactly, right? It's about attitude. I mean, even when you think about the Mother Teresa, what we've been talking about today, the idea that, is it God really testing us, or is it that God is really proud of us, that he holds us up in a very special relationship? Or the question of have faith in God that Jesus says, is that about just having this blind faith, or is it about taking on the responsibility that comes in having that faith in God, about our ability to reach out to others? And, you know, Ani said it so beautifully. I mean, we have this opportunity to really shift, to look at life and see the positive, to see that our attitude does affect a lot of the things. And so in a very real sense, you want to affect the nature. You need to be able to put your attitude in gear, put your attitude and yourself in harmony with what is going on and all around you, and find that you do have amazing control and amazing ability over what your surroundings are all about. Well, we do have control over these surroundings, and we're so glad that you're joining us today, but it's important that you plug in. I mean, we are really reaching out to places that you cannot imagine, and we love hearing from you. Do drop us a line at feedback@apostle.net, and do drop us a line with, well, your participation in this ministry. Here's Susie to tell you about it.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the third year of production and growing daily with new listeners around the globe. This new message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. Epostle.net is the voice of Armadoxy, committed to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we need to avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at the inhisshoes.org website. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement. Can you believe it's going to be 4 years that we've been doing the Next Step? 4 years. I mean, every week getting out a podcast for you. And, you know, it is, I think, the greatest part about that, again, it's a question of attitude or shift in emphasis, but really it is a privilege to be able to speak with you every week and share with you this message of Armadoxy, to share with you what's going on in our lives, to look at life through these very special lenses that God has given us. And I want to thank you for that opportunity, and thank you mostly for your prayers, for the kind words that you have for us, and for your donations. And it is a very important part of the equation, because it does take money. No matter how you look at it, it does take money to get out there, buy the bandwidth that we need, buy the equipment that we need, buy the time that we need, the resources to put it all together. So we really appreciate your participating in this ministry. As Susie told you, it's very easy. You just press on the donate button and immediately you're connected with our servers. It's called itsmyseat.com, and they send over a nice check in your name to us. So it's so simple. I mean, I can't think of anything more simple. But if you'd like to push it a little bit and unsimplify your life, do send us a check at 632 West Stocker Street, Glendale, California, 91202, and make the checks payable to the Armenian Church Youth Ministries Center. How about the last part of our podcast for today? We talk about last things, last details, last days. Yes, I don't mean to make light of it, but you know, a lot of people are concerned that this Saturday, May 21st, will be the end of time as we know it, the end of the world. Yes, there are so many people that are concerned with this, that May 21st is Judgment Day. In fact, do a search on it. You'll be surprised to find how many responses you get. Here's something from eBible Fellowship. Judgment Day, May 21st, 2011. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. That is out of Revelation 9:15. And it talks about how October 21st, 2011 will be the end of the world. And basically there is the 5 month period beginning this Saturday, May 21st. So Another statement, end of the world in May, and here's from Raleigh, North Carolina. It's not close to Mayberry, somewhere around there anyway. Maybe it's just as make-believe as the fictitious town on TV. But anyway, it says, to get the word out, they're using billboards and bus stops, benches, traveling caravans of RVs, and volunteers passing out pamphlets on street corners. Cities from Bridgeport, Connecticut to Little Rock, Arkansas now have billboards with the ominous message, and mission groups are traveling in countries from Latin America to Africa to spread the news outside of the United States. A lot of people might think the end of the world is coming. Let's go party, says Exley, a veteran of two deployments in Iraq. But we're commanded by God to warn people. I wish I could just be like everyone else, but it's so much better to know when the end comes, you'll be safe. Now, that is interesting. Yeah, if you didn't know it, I guess there is a group of people that would go out there and kind of max out their credit cards at this point, that would kind of go out there and party and binge and so on. There'd be another that would probably be more reserved and more focused. Where would you be in this whole thing? Interesting question, but here's the point. And I knew I'd get your point. I did promise you from the beginning of the show, and I have always promised you, that we will give you the Arminian Orthodox perspective. And Arminian Orthodoxy does say a lot about the second coming of Christ. And it talks about the judgment day, when we will all be judged. But that hour, the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, the Scriptures that we hold as the holiest of Holy Scriptures, in fact, the one that the Armenian Orthodox Christians refer to as, not as the Word of God, but the breath of God. That means having the soul of God, having the Spirit of God. Those Holy Scriptures say, no one knows. What? Yeah, no one knows. In fact, the Holy Scriptures go further and says, not the angels in heaven, not anyone, not even the Son of God knows when that day comes, only God the Father. So if nobody knows, now listen to this, now if nobody knows what the day is, and only God knows, so what are you doing out there thinking about, like, this is the day and predicting that day? What are you saying about yourself that you're putting yourself in the place of God? Not too wise, folks. That's a thunderbolt in the head, isn't it? If you're under your images, yes, definitely. Think about it for a moment. What are these people predicting? What are they talking about? I mean, isn't this what the Jehovah's Witness started off with? The Jehovah's Witness started off in 1914 predicting the end of the world. Didn't come. They went off and they said it's going to be in 1917. Didn't come. Then 1922. And until today, they predict the end of the world. And these people that are standing around today, somehow they figured out that according to Scripture, May 21st, 2011, this is it. Well, here's a couple ways we can look at it. If it is the end of the world, well, too bad for this podcast. It's all finished and everything. You don't have to listen to me anymore, because basically I've lied to you and it's all over. Or if we meet up again next week, you'll know that it's another one of those people, another one of those groups that have basically violated. They have usurped. Yes, that's a good word. Go look it up. They have usurped God's authority. And that's dangerous. You can't do that. You can't do that kind of stuff. And so if there is anybody, listen, I doubt it. I hope Next Step listeners are of a different breed and really aren't in that flow. But you never know. You never know when somebody might come up to you, and you need to be able to stand your ground and speak about this. Don't be scared to quote Scripture. One of the most important things you'll find in Scripture is that there's no such word as rapture. The second most important thing you'll understand is that that day doesn't know. The third most, and probably the central most important thing when discussing the second times, Jesus says, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will come whether you like it or not. It has worries of its own. Today, set your mind on God's kingdom, and all else will come. all else will find its place, even the second coming. Don't worry about that. What you need to worry about today, what you need to focus on today, is God's kingdom. Can you focus on that? In a sense, Jesus is saying, do you want to be ready for the second coming? All you need to do is plug into my first coming. I ushered in God's kingdom in your life. Make sure that that is a reality for your life. And then, once it is, you don't have to worry whether it's May 21st, May 22nd, or 23rd. You know that you are there. You know that you are one with God. I said a few minutes ago about Jehovah's Witness. I don't know if you had a chance to read that article that's been floating around. This is just a couple days ago, and it was a big tragedy in Armenia. One of our Armenian churches was in session when some Jehovah's Witness came right outside in the courtyard and started proselytizing, started passing out their Watchtower books, their magazines. And the priest asked them to leave the commons of the church. They were right on the church grounds. And the Jehovah's Witness picked a fight with him, and they actually fought him. And they beat him. And I think this is a new chapter that we're seeing, because many times in American society, we look at the Jehovah's Witness as this harmless group of people out there. And when you really look at it, it is really a cult that does have a lot of hatred in their heart, because their animosity is seen in what they do to the families. And I've said this on several occasions. I don't mind repeating this. You can't repeat this enough. I don't have any problem with anybody's religion. I really don't. Religion is there for you to be able to make your peace with your surroundings, with yourself, with your environment, with your universe, with your creator. That's what the purpose of religion is. I have no problems. You've heard me even quote Buddhism, Hinduism. I mean, these are real religions. But when it comes to Jehovah's Witness, you can't condone that, because what you find in that religion is basically a group of people that are trying to break apart the most sacred institutions that we value and we cherish, the very sacred bonds that we value and cherish in life, that is, of the family with one another. I've done baptisms, I've done weddings where members of the family haven't attended because they are Jehovah's Witness. Any group, any religion that tells you you cannot attend another church, really, you got to question what's going on there. How could these be spokespeople of God? How could these people be speaking the language of love? I'm going to see if we could dig up that website and put that story on. If you didn't catch that story about the Jehovah's Witness, we'll see if we could put it up on our show notes. But for right now, we are at the end of today's show. So let's make it real simple. Hey, if we are here next week, if we are here together next week, then you really get a chance to know that, you know, God is always good. God is always with us, and God tells us the only way that is really worth listening to, that basically today is important. I have created today for you. Enjoy it, love it, and share God's love in every aspect He can. If by chance it's over and we did hit the judgment day, then, well, be happy again, because you've always been prepared. You've had love in your heart, and that love means that you are ready for that judgment, no matter when it comes. May 21st, well, whenever. I personally think that it should go on for many years to come. You know, it's just a beautiful life, isn't it? Well, I hope you agree. At this time, if you want to be prepared, always be prepared, do check out inissues.org. That's our official website, where you'll find all kinds of activities taking place. And epostle.net. That's apostolic evangelism for an expanding universe. For the wonderful crew that put today's show together, for Susie, our producer, for Ken, our engineer, and Ani with her bubbles, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week, when we will take the next step.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience, not valid with any other offer.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.